This is Matt Wells at UN News. Early indications from the economic fallout of COVID-19 are that it could cost up to 25 million job losses globally. That's more than during the global financial crisis in 2008-09. Speaking to UN News is Daniel Johnson. Cher Verrick from the International Labour Organization, ILO, explains how governments can help soften the impact for vulnerable workers.
The ILO has made some preliminary estimates to look at the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on the labour market. Using ILO's models, we've come up with an initial estimate that ranges from 5.3 to 24.7 million. So the figure of 25 million is what we have called a high scenario. But given the way the crisis has evolved and the further deterioration of the economy, this looks increasingly likely as a scenario for the impact of the shock, the economic shock on the labor market around the world. Now, just to put that in context, unemployment in 2008-09 increased by 22 million during the global financial crisis. So we are looking really at a crisis that is potentially greater than global financial crisis in 2008-09.
Yeah, and you also say at the ILO, the International Labour Organization, that it's going to cost globally $3 trillion or thereabouts, maybe $3.5 trillion. But I think an interesting question is, you did bring up the 2008 financial crisis. How many jobs were regained in the economy after that? How long did it take for the recovery, I suppose?
So one of the key lessons of the global financial crisis and also earlier crises is that that type of situation and that recession that hit the world takes a long time, not only for the economy to recover, but in particular the labor market. And we saw that it took a number of years for unemployment levels to, you know, return to pre-crisis levels in some cases.
Sure. And before we get onto the policy recommendations from the ILO to help cushion the blow, maybe you could tell me how and which sectors really are going to suffer. I mean, you mentioned in the report that self-employees, particularly in developing countries, are going to suffer because there's a lot of restrictions of the movement on people, for example, and the movement of goods, as you've already said. So how are they going to cope in the meantime?
That's right. So we see, you know, a number of vulnerabilities, you know, in terms of sectors. Of course, they're not only the issues in the manufacturing sector, which we saw early on when the crisis started in China. But what we see now is strong impact on the service sector. So given the constraints to the movement of people and how we're working, the border closures, the quarantine measures, which are all, of course, necessary to contain the spread of the pandemic. But these are putting major brakes on the way we consume, and it's affecting the service sector. So retail, of course, tourism is you know, suffering a very sharp and severe shock as we speak. A group that is particularly vulnerable in this situation are the self-employed, because the self-employed need their own safety net. Most countries are relying on their own savings as a safety net. And then in particular in developing countries, most of the self-employed and don't have that luxury, and they don't have access to social protection. So they are very vulnerable to losing their income and their livelihoods, you know, for a period of months, which will have a very significant impact on them and their families, and really poses a risk of deterioration in working poverty, as we've pointed out as well.
So how are we going to help them? What can we expect the International Labour Organization to do, and how is it going to do it?
We need to see decisive responses now. It needs to be coordinated. This is a very important message that the ILO has brought out, that as we saw in 2008-09, coordinated responses are going to be more effective. But we've also, you know, highlighted three areas that deserve policy attention, and that's protecting workers in the workplace, particularly from the direct effects of the pandemic. Secondly, stimulating the economy to stop it from collapsing. And thirdly, supporting employment and incomes in different ways. So I think, you know, when we look at the stimulus that is already being announced by many countries, is absolutely critical to ensure that the economy doesn't further collapse and bottom out. So we see this in forms of fiscal policy and accommodative monetary policy. But then really what we need to see, and, you know, a number of countries have stepped up in this area, but needs to be done consistently across all countries, is special support not only to large enterprises, which are important, but also smaller enterprises and self-employed. So this can come in different forms. It can come in the forms of guarantees, subsidized loans, grants. We've seen in a number of countries already tax relief, relief on other types of costs that the business is facing. Because really the aim is to ensure that those businesses remain in operation and are there ready to take things forward once the recovery gets underway. Similarly for women and other, you know, all workers, we are proposing measures to, as much as possible, for employment to be retained. So these also involve subsidies and types of relief for employers to keep workers on board, you know, many European countries have different types of schemes, such as a Kurzarbeit in Germany, etc. Other countries need to experiment with what type of support they can give businesses to keep workers in place. And this is really critical because of, you know, we're talking about the service sector where some of these schemes may not be as extensive as it is in manufacturing. And then because there are many workers who are not covered by regular employment relationships, you know, we have casual workers, we have other unprotected workers. It's really also absolutely critical to see what other support can come in the form of social protection for women, but also in households in general. And there, it's also critical to reduce the care burden on women, because in this situation, the extra burden is there in any case, but is being exacerbated during these times. So, you know, support on paid care leave, sick leave that is needed. And we see, of course, in advanced economies, but these, you know, extra measures are needed in all economies to ensure that workers, self-employed, women, etc., have that type of support during this period.